Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer session of the conference. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star one. I would also like to remind participants that today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Mike Poisson. Sir, you may begin.
Okay. Thank you, Gwenny. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you might be. Today, I want to give you some comparative information about our new IBM Information Archive versus the competition. And we've chosen three of the major competitors that have been in the space and provide appliances to provide archive capability in enterprise environments. So to start off, I'm going to go over a little bit on the smart archive strategy coming from IBM and the current offering. Sort of a brief introduction to the IBM Information Archive, assuming that a lot of you have been on the series of calls that have gone through the introduction and how Information Archive can work with enterprise content management, for example. Then I'm going to talk about the competition, primarily EMC, Hitachi, HP, and then list some others. What is the value? What's the TCO of the IBM Archive solution? And it's not only a good solution, but it makes use of customers' current investments, especially in tape. And then go through a summary, how to get more information, and then contacts that you can use to help you in situations. Okay. So if we go on to slide three, this is the Information Archive strategy, and it is meant to be able to ingest all sorts of information. Okay, so it could be, documents that have been captured, and you really want to get them into a repository that can be used for long-term storage, but also provide retrieval capability. So paper documents, collaborative information, say from SharePoint or Domino, ERP, customer relation type of information that PeopleSoft or other CRM tools could provide. And certainly email coming from either Lotus Notes or Microsoft Exchange or other, other sources such from users that have mail to be archived. The infrastructure that is being used is, it comes in sort of like three different flavors. It could be on the customer premise with custom configurations, appliance-based where the machine, the software, the application is pre-configured, and essentially a very fast time to value to get up and running, and then provided as a service, in the cloud or having a service provider providing the archival capability. Some of the other things that are seen in the architecture are such value-added services as optimization services, tuning, system services, providing managed services, having a reference architecture for this capability. Having this strategy, it gives us the ability to have a archive storage with enterprise content management. So it's a good way to look to IBM as a consistent provider of a total solution. When it was announced, this was last month, just about a little over a month ago. It was announced as part of many other products that were announced that day. But some of the feedback that we got back was from the analyst firm, Forrester, Brian Hill, responded that from his standpoint, the vision that IBM outlines is really strategically compelling across all its services, the software, the hardware, and even our service organization. We have always had an extensive archiving portfolio from mainframe into open systems. So it's a compelling message for your customers. We go on to slide five. This is a look at what Information Archive is today. We have content management on demand that's providing the capability to get your paper documents. These are your information sources. We have the content collection and classification module that prepare the information that's going to be ingested into the information archive. Earlier, over the last couple, 3 years, this capability of information archive has been provided by the DR550 as well as the SSAM software. So what you'll see now is IBM Information Archive, or IIA. We use that a lot in our conversations now, and that's where information is going to be reliably stored and provide retrieval capability. The Enterprise Content Management repositories and the will be also integrated with the Information Archive, and we be able to use the information across several data mining tools, etc., to provide analytics and essentially enterprise records management, so that you have the e-discovery capability, the records management, and the analytics all wrapped into one. We go on to slide six now. Next is just a short description of the information archive itself. This will be roll in the customer environment, and in the rest of the world except for Germany, it will be provided by Tivoli Lab Services, and then in Germany itself, GTS will provide the that service capability. It is a new frame, a new set of storage, new processors, similar to what the DR550 is, but it's really a new box. It is universal, scalable, and secure. It's an integrated archive appliance. It combines the best of IBM, the Tivoli software, STG hardware, and GTS services. And also, we'll be able to have the ability to securely protect the data by having encryption, having a good compression capability, and addressing the complete information needs of both midsize and enterprise clients. It is a storage repository for both structured and unstructured information, having compliant or non-compliant requirements. The outstanding features of the information archive, it is a very easy to use. Contrary to some other competitors' boxes, it reappears as a file server. It also has other interfaces, but looking as a file server, it is really just a simple drag and drop of files into the information archive. As far as installation and implementation, you get quick configuration via wizards. We can dynamically add storage, the non-disruptive add of additional storage, giving the customer a very, very quick time to value. The user interface, a single task-oriented GUI to manage the entire solution, and also provides a command line interface. The different application interfaces making use of the protocols of NFS, and SM, all within the Information Archive. CIFS, HTTP, and the FTP protocols will be provided at the second release. For scalability, it'll support billions of options, up to 1 billion objects per collection. And I'll talk about collection in the next slide a little bit. And then be able to scale out in storage capacity and scale up in ingest performance. So both capacity and performance can be increased to provide great scalability for the box. Having a unique set of retention policies that can be either time-driven or event-based, so that the customers can have a flexible data retention policy. For compliance and security, each collection can be configured with different protection levels, and this flexible protection level capability gives the ability to have multiple levels of protection on a box, and each box could therefore look like three different information archives virtually. Also have new patent pending tamper-proof technology that increases the protection of the information archive, essentially making it more bulletproof, prevent it from being hacked by a system programmer getting root access. And then index and search, which everybody needs, is the index and search capability for both data and metadata, and that's in coming up real quick in the next release of the Information Archive product. So I just wanted to go over collections very briefly, and we're introducing this collection concept really to give flexibility to the Information Archive. So it's supporting, like we said at the beginning, the Information Archive supports multiple sources of input, either coming from an ECF archive repository, the ECM stores, or from user and applications through NFS, or through custom applications, say through the Information Archive interface. And we look at the Information Archive as one large namespace. But within that namespace, we can have different collections. We can have collections pretty much based on the source of the information. So information can be stored in these separate collections and really have a separate level of protection or even a separate level of access characteristics or data retention. So the collections could be used by different departments for different reasons. Each collection can be, like I said, customized to support the different protection levels. And it's these flexible protection levels that allow you to multi-purpose the box to adapt it to what you need. The next slide will begin us into the competition. And if anybody has a question about collections or the levels of protection, make sure that you queue it up as a question at the end. I have two colleagues with me, product manager Roger Warford and the offering manager Vanessa Vera, and they'll be sure to help and answer questions that you might have. So now to get into the meat of the meeting is the competitive comparison. How do we look compared to HP, EMC, and HDS coming out as we are right now? And admittedly, there are some things that we're better at and some things that the competition could be looked at as providing better capability. But this is a pretty comprehensive look at how we match up to the competition right now. And we like to see ourselves getting better, but we also look pretty good right out of the box right now, admittedly with a little bit of bias. But, we can do that. So as far as scalability is concerned, pretty much all the products are scalable because the growth of information is bounding very quickly. But we see ourselves as having advantage of virtually infinite in providing very high scalability in that we have tape as part of our solution. So as part of the hierarchy of storage in the information archive, tape is part of the storage media that helps in scalability. The collection concept is a IBM exclusive. I don't see that any of the competitors provide that capability. As far as data deduplication, we do have data deduplication. EMC provides a file-level data dedupe as well as Hitachi and HP. So it's really a single-instance instance object store rather than providing the further advantages of block-level data deduplication. We all provide encryption support. So it is very important to have the data that is stored in the archive repository to be stored securely. And the last thing companies want to do is have either information lost or compromised. The shredding capability, the destruction of the data, that is another capability that is important, especially in government or in defense installations. So we pretty much all do that, except for HP. The HP Integrated Archive Platform came out a couple years ago. Just an aside, it came up as a update to their RISS, the previous version of an archive that never was well accepted in the market. IAP is a little bit more well accepted, but still does not have real good traction. Now, the tiering with tape or other disk devices is seen as an IBM exclusive because except for Sun Storage Tech, none of the other vendors have a tape solution integrated with their archive solution. So we see ourselves as an exclusive there, even though Oracle Sun may well, keep their SAM solution in the portfolio and provide it. But right now, this is an exclusive of IBM. Migration capability. There is migration supported from EMC to get that information, move from one information archive to another, but it could be problematic, certainly not a good process to consider. Remote management, that is the capability of being able to have a web interface or remotely access the information archive for management purposes. Index and search, we're lagging a little bit right now because it's not until the next release that we have the capability. Index and search has become, the Nirvana of multiple products, whether it's backup, archive, or even other means of storing data. In this generation now with Google and Yahoo, everybody is becoming search-oriented and coming up with good search arguments and depending on data being indexed. The connectivity or the protocol support, we support pretty much the standard interfaces and protocols that we will have by the second release. The EMC Centera is using right now Centera API, but the XAM API is a proposed standard, so and hopefully XAM will be become a open interface that more people will start using. I don't know the IBM position right now, but IBM has certainly worked with the standards organization in developing XAM. The Hitachi likewise has, like IBM, standard interfaces and protocols being used. And then the HPIAP using its native API, and like EMC, they're also supporting the XAM interface. So if we go on to chart 12, we'll look at EMC in a little bit more depth. EMC probably has the this open systems archive appliance out there for the longest time. So since I think about 2002 now, Centera has been out there. And the thing about Centera is that all those early installations, it is very difficult for a customer to get off of Centera into another technology or to migrate out of it. So it's a lock-in really for EMC. Once they get Centera deployed in a customer environment, and the customer is you know, fairly happy with it, that they're pretty well locked in, and they're going to grow it. And the way they grow it, they add additional Centera node pairs to the controllers for the storage, and then the in increments of it starts out a minimum of 16 terabytes, and a typical Centera is like 128 terabytes, but it can be configured up to a maximum with multiple Centera boxes in a domain up to a maximum of 14 petabytes. The storage is based on low-cost disk storage, and it has no tiered storage support. So, it is not a multiple-tiered storage. You could look at it as, if it had not only SATA, but SSD and fiber channel disks, you can consider it tiered. But no, it's all SATA. For data protection, they have capability to back up the tape, a separate utility, and then the ability for asynchronous replication to another instance of a Centera. Migrations are possible, but they're problematic, risky in terms of having data deduplication collisions, so that it's possible that the hashes that were developed for the deduplication of the files, you may have the same hash developed for two different objects, and you don't want that to happen. So, for compliance and security, there is a compliance edition model of the Centera, so it's really a separate machine, a separate model that you order to have a compliance edition. And then, they do have a low-power edition also that has reduced power requirements and so forth. If we so EMC has been out there. It has a large market presence now. But I think with Information Archive, you look at Information Archive as a more compelling solution, and being able to provide capabilities that the Centera cannot. For Hitachi now, Hitachi has what they call their Hitachi Content Archive platform. It's acquired technology. It came from Archivus, the software, and last up with Hitachi Storage, HTS Storage, okay, that makes the HCAT box. It like Information Archive, has standard file system interfaces protocols, also including SMTP and NDMP for like NAS. Scalability, very, very high capacity. It claims up to 4 petabytes just on the HDS, using the HDS NAS protocol, but then up to 40 petabytes total with multiple HDSs attached. For storage, again, it's disk storage. It is tiered storage, though, so they can have different layers or, you know, concepts of disk storage, but there is no tape in their storage hierarchy. For data protection, they provide both encryption and the ability to lock down the data such that you can write, but you can't you know, read multiple times of that written data, but not to be changed again. And then replication to another Hitachi box. It enables migration to tiered storage solutions so that you can migrate the data from one tier or to another tier, similar tier, or different tiers of storage. Reduces the burden on highest tiers, you know, making the data available, and you know, reducing the demand on your backup windows and related costs. For compliance and security, information cannot be modified until retention policy expires the data, and it enforces application defined retention. But it does not have like a compliance addition like the other bosses. But you know, Hitachi is looked at as providing the highest capacity capability. Now, finally, we have the HP Integrated Archive Platform. It has its own API, but they also say that they support XAM now. The scalability, it is not a tiered storage. It is a grid architecture. They claim up to 450 terabytes within their integrated archive platform. The storage used is based on a universal smart cell single level store. So that's how they're you know, storing the data into this grid-like storage structure. It does not support tiered storage. For data protection, they have a couple options with the box. You can back up the tape, or you can replicate to another integrated archive platform. It supports encryption, has digital signatures, and provides worm on disk. Again, the write once, read many. For migration, I could not find any information about migration capability. And then they claim compliance with regulations, the government rules, and you know, policies to comply with these different regulations. So these universal smart cells, they're like a storage controller and storage packaged into a group. So it's through the multiple smart cells that they achieve the capacity scalability. They focus pretty much on the Microsoft market for email archiving, but they also look at IBM Lotus Domino and their own HP email archive software. So that is it for those three major ones. Other vendors that are in the space that you'll see in the field are NetApp, not particularly with a dedicated archive product, but their archive solution, they can provide the capabilities through their software and hardware of providing a archive solution. So it's through their filers with SnapLock and SnapMirror technology that NetApp is able to be in the space. The next rev of this work will include a deeper look into NetApp. And some of the others that are in the space include Nexan. They have a product called Assure On. Turingo, a product called CA Store. Oracle Sun, assuming that's a done deal, will still have the Sun Storage Archive Manager. Right now, the only one we see that has tape incorporated in there in the storage repository for archive. Looking at Symantec has tried to come out with an appliance version of Enterprise Vault. They've worked with several vendors to make that happen. Right now, it is still a archive software solution. And there will be further discussions of how we compare against pure software solutions with our stuff versus such concerns as Symantec and Commvault. Next, we'll get into a TCO sort of a statement. Okay, on chart 17. You're achieving maximum archive efficiency with optional external tape in considerations of the long-term cost of ownership. SATA disk offers both lower cost access to online data versus fiber channel disk, along with tape offering lower cost than disk and consuming less energy, but often not ideal for online access unless you have a very efficient tape library. You can consider that your nearline access to the data, but it's certainly not online. It provides you a blended solution, the online access to the most recent content, the nearline access to the data for data that has aged, and then lower cost, energy efficient for long-term storage of data to tape, and tape has really given us the advantages over the other vendors in providing a real end-to-end solution for storing archival data. Next, we'll go through some of the resources that are available to you, both in helping you sell the product. On Chart 19 is really a summary of the information archive product. Sorry if I provided a little bit too much marketing stuff, but I think it bodes well to repeat it, some of the information, get it foremost in your minds as having this appliance, this solution available to you, and be able to compete versus your competition. To help you learn more, on chart 20 are several links, description to the IBM Smart Archive and the strategy that goes along with it. And then for the information archive, these blue things are really hot links to the information. So you get you have the live presentation. You can essentially copy these links into your own bookmarks or get directly to the information on the internet or intranet, depending on whether you're a partner for direct IBM sales. So they have the Information Archive Sales Kit, both in the direct for the sales solution for the internal IBM, as well as out on Partner World. So whether you're a partner or internal, you got information available to you in the sales kits. On the Extreme Leverage portal, these are the links both to internal and external information. Link also to the product page, and then information on enterprise content management, which fits very well. It was in the last week's presentation on this storage talk. Okay, on chart 21, is probably the most important is the where to go when you need more information, when you need to have a conversation or a discussion about the capabilities with Information Archive. The Archive Sales Solution Leaders, right now Jeff Barber from STG is the sales leader. We have a person in consideration in Tivoli sales, but nobody's assigned to it yet. The business line executives, Kelly Beavers and Craig Butler. If you're working with global services, the GTS contacts, Mike Grisey in the U.S. and then Sergey in Europe. These are the Archive Solutions marketing managers, both Vanessa and John. We've worked together on this, and then Funda for the solutions marketing is very well experienced in the archive space. For on the product side, the solutions product manager is Roger Wilford. Both Roger and Vanessa are with me for taking care of some of the Q&A coming up real quick here. And then the technical contacts, Tricia from U.S., and then we have ATS people both in Europe and the Americas that are assigned. So for additional comparative information, Blair Drenner is my manager, and then myself, Mike Poussin, Steve Luco. Feel free to get in touch with us. But we also provide a online way to get to us if you look at chart 22. Where to go for comparative support when you need help and assistance, we have a competitive action wiki, and this is a portal or a link to get to that information. Again, this is the comparative team. For just the storage software, Blair has some other things that he manages, security and other parts of the Tivoli portfolio. But for comparative assistance, we have a service catalog that works very well. It only takes a couple minutes of your time to describe the situation. Is it a request for comparative info? Is it a pricing situation? Just to get product info? It gives you a way to generate that request, get it in the queue, and you can be assured that it gets responded to. There is a for business partners, the best way is to work with your IBM rep, and the IBM rep can generate a request or even go through comp to get to us directly and get additional information or assistance. So the business partners don't have direct access to the wiki, but they certainly can go through their IBM rep to get the information and have it sent to you, or to get to us directly by using our email addresses that are in those URL links. Okay. So now, Winnie, I think we're ready to open up for Q&A, and if you could instruct people, repeat the instructions again, and Vanessa, I, and Roger will try to the best of our ability to take care of people's questions. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Your first question comes from Lon Haas. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you, Ron.
And I've got a whole lot of questions, but I'll just ask a couple and I'll come back on if the other ones haven't been answered. But I joined a little bit late. I'm wondering if you already covered this. Is there any integration points with some of the other storage solutions such as TPC, SVC, TSM? Did you cover that already?
We didn't go over the deep integration points, no. But there are several technologies employed, and there was an earlier presentation in this series that talked about the various technologies that are being employed.
Let me give you a specific question. TPC, is TPC going to be able to recognize IA, or is there plans for it to recognize IA for those clients that have TPC today?
Can you answer that, Roger?
Yes, I sure will. Hi. Today, it does not. TPC does not recognize IA as an entity, and we are evaluating how we can get that into a future release. But it's not on our roadmap right now.
Okay. A couple more questions.
Sure.
I'm an STG storage specialist, and
okay.
I often work very closely with my Tivoli peers on solutions that we co-market, co-sell, such as SVC and TPC. One of the techniques that we like to use out here in the Northwest is once we get a client interested, we generally try to follow up with a live demonstration, and we'd like to do that. There are many ways to do that, but one of the ways we do it is through the Executive Briefing Center.
Okay.
Where we'll do a remote demonstration of our solution. It's a very effective way to get things done and very inexpensive. So I'm wondering, are there plans, one, to place one of these within the Executive Briefing Center so that we can do these remote demonstrations? And then secondly, what are the plans to enable our business partners to set these up in their own tech centers?
On the answer to your first question on the briefing centers, we're putting together the ability to dial in remotely, or you can use the remote access to the information archive to get onto a system anywhere. So we're putting these in IBM innovation centers around the world, 4 or 5 of these around the world. And we're going to put some in places like Dallas, where you could dial into reserve time and dial into a Dallas IA and show from the user interface on your laptop in a briefing center what's going on in the information archive. So we recognize that is a valuable way to show the product, and so rather than putting one in every briefing center, we're going to have the ability to dial into one of these or log into one of these remotely and give a demo of it. Now, on the business partner side, we're not as far along on the business partner side. So today we don't have any closed plans for seeding the business partners with hardware. We don't have a plan to do that right now.
Okay.
You're suggesting that we do.
I think our business partners are very
like
much
in the BPICs?
Yeah, in the BPICs, right. Yeah, they're very much, some of them are, at least out here, they're interested in information archive, and I think anything we can do to enable them is going to help IBM.
Yes, and maybe this remote access, dialing into an IA via remote access, maybe we can extend that to our business partners also, and that way they can demo it in their site without having to buy the hardware.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Roger.
Okay.
That's a great idea. I'll reserve the rest of my questions for later.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Mark Henson. Your line is open.
Good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple questions as well. Number one was on the sizing. The presentation had said that a collection can manage up to 1 billion objects. Is there a storage size limit associated with that as well, or is it simply the objects?
Mike, you want to take that one, or you want me to?
If you can take that, Roger.
Yeah,
I have my own thinking about it, but I'll go to the expert.
Okay. I'm not the expert, but I'll give it a try. The number of objects, our estimations and our calculations are based on an object size of 150 kilobytes per object. So obviously, if you had a lot, the objects were a lot larger in size, then maybe the number goes down. Now that billion objects per collection is limited to a single disk controller and the associated storage with it. So in the first release, a single collection is stored, the information for a single collection is stored in a single disk controller.
Okay.
And the first collection gives you 77 terabytes, and the other two give you, the ones in the expansion unit give you 62.
Okay.
62 or 64.
100.
I'm sorry, 66. I'm sorry, it's 66 in the expansion unit, in the expansion rack.
Okay, so 150 terabytes or so.
Total of 209 usable.
Okay.
Now, those numbers I was quoting were usable. That's usable capacity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next question was the index and search feature. You said that's available in 2.0. Around that, do you know what the software engine will be that will provide the search, and do you know when 2.0 will be available?
The engine that we're using is an open source engine, and it's off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it, but we're working with the open source community in fact, we've already got it. I just can't think of the name of it. I can look it up while some other questions are going on. But so that's where we're getting it from. And the answer to your second question is, release 2 is currently outlooked for late 2010, in the fourth quarter of 2010. Now that may change depending on how, depending on about 200 variables, but today the thinking is late 2010.
Okay, and final question, for ordering, will this be sold as a single part number type solution, or is this going to be multiple orders of all of the different hardware, software, services components?
No, we've compiled or consolidated all the hardware into a single machine type model. And so you buy the hardware in AAS and a single machine type model plus feature codes, and then the software is purchased. It's all in a single PID, and it's purchased from Passport Advantage. So you don't have to worry about purchasing any of the underlying components. You just purchase the machine type model for the hardware and the PID for the software.
Okay. Thank you. That's my questions.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Your next question comes from Ian Hancock. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. I've got a competitive question. I seem to remember in the some years ago, a thing about EMC Synterra was that it you could put data into it, but it had no real mechanism for deleting data once it had expired, so it just filled and filled. Is that still the case, or are they a bit smarter about the way they manage the system now?
They're a bit smarter now, Ian, this is Mike, and they do have data retention policies now that in their cleanup process will get rid of the data. So they do have data expiration now.
Okay, thank you very much.
They also provide shredding now too. So that's, like I said, I think they've been doing this now since 2002, and they've added some necessary features to make it a self-sustaining box.
Yeah. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Lutz. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. I've got a couple of questions. The first is around DR capability. If I understand it correctly, we're using the same model of replication, which is basically controller-based, as we saw in the current DR550 product. I wonder if there's any plans to develop any level of automation in terms of the failover mechanism for when a customer needs to invoke DR.
Roger, you want to?
Yeah, I'll address that. We in our first release, we're going to be offering, as you mentioned, we'll be offering physical replication, and for release two, we're trying to introduce the ability to do logical replication, so that you're not tied to physically replicating between two sites. You can if you want to with logical replication, but then it also gives you more flexibility. The automation for failover with logical replication, that's being done at the controller level. Now, I honestly don't know if we're going to be moving the management of the failover in the disk controllers up into the information archive management software. I could find that out if you'd like and send you an email on that.
That would be really helpful. I mean, you know, looking at an analogy, what we've seen with the Protectir product set, where that started off with array-based replication, and then that's moved up into the actual device engine, if you like, which looks to be, you know, a highly successful and efficient way of doing it. So that would be interesting to get some more information on that.
If you could send me an email with that question, I'll be glad to research it before and get it back to you.
Yeah, sure, we'll do. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have one other question around connectivity. I was kind of surprised to see that we're not providing SIFS connectivity out of the GA. I see it on the roadmap for a version in 2010. I just wondered what the thoughts were around that decision.
Roger or Vanessa?
I can address it, but I be honest with you, I was distracted for a second. So if you could please repeat the question, I'll be glad to address it for you.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah, it's around protocol connectivity because we seem to be leaning towards NFS and the other protocols and the SSA and API. SIFS is coming along later, sometime in 2010. And I think, you know, a lot of customers. I'm working with two at the moment, looking at this product, and they're asking about SIFS, and we're saying, well, next year.
Well, we would love to provide it on day one. It was a matter of having the available resources to produce it, and it just didn't work out. So we're getting it out there with SSAM and NFS first, and to maximize our ability to work with customers who want to use this, we have tested with and will support connection to all of the enterprise content management applications that do archiving today. So the entire suite of applications that work with Content Manager, for instance, IBM Content Collector and Content Manager on Demand and the Content Manager or Common Store with SAP, and then the FileNet suite that uses the P8 content repository and the Optum applications. So we have a lot of opportunity working together with our ECM partners to offer an end-to-end archiving solution all the way from the application that creates the content down to the physical storage where you lock the data. So we've invested in that, and that will be our focus in the first year until we can get SIFS out. We understand the opportunity with SIFS in the Windows-based market, and we're getting there as quickly as we can.
Okay. No, thanks. That's a good answer. I appreciate that we have a very robust story to tell around the ECM level of integration, so that is good. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, for whoever asked the question about the index engine, it's Solr, S-O-L-R, it's a Solr-based approach. So next question, please.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. next question comes from Ron Haas. Your line is open.
Okay, thanks. I'm back, guys. Speaking of the ISV support, is there a link or is on one of these links that you provided, are you keeping us abreast of the ISV support?
We aren't yet because we haven't formally announced and shipped this, but we will have the ability when we launch this to identify which ISVs we support, and as we grow that, we'll update that.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
We will
and
have that
additionally, Roger, if I may, we're also working on an interoperability matrix, which will show when we ship this product, which ISV will be supported.
Oh, terrific. Thank you. I have another question here. It really goes to the heart of this presentation. It was around competition. And I certainly know that for me, I always like to be prepared for how my competition is going to attack me and my solutions in a competitive situation. On your wiki, are you going to provide us, I guess, some competitive material in terms of how you think the competitors are going to come after
right.
us and how to respond to them.
On our competitive wiki, yeah, we have the vendors identified, but we'll also have additional competitive information based on the work that we've been doing with the Information Archive, and we're in the process now of populating the wiki with more information.
Okay, yeah, I can certainly think of a couple places if I was a competitor how he'd come after IBM. But one follow-up question is I've seen reference to patent-pending tamper-proof technology. Did you describe that today? Or I haven't heard anybody describe what that is.
I described it briefly. It is essentially preventing root access to the storage controller.
Preventing it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Okay.
At this
any
time,
go ahead.
Do we have any more questions, Quinn?
At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for their participation and especially for the questions and the discussion at the end. Feel free to email us or get in further contact with us, either in a sales situation or even a, any competitive situation that could arise now. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Quinny.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference. Thank you for attending. You may disconnect at this time.